Now, you know, if you look at our constitution talks about any appointment that you make, and especially Article 152 of the Kenya Constitution, which talks about the formation and constitution of cabinets. It's very clear that that you have to take into consideration both regional and ethnic balance. Now, if you look at the recent appointments, out of the 16 positions, you realize that we have 42 tribes in Kenya or ethnic communities, and two ethnic communities, however, whatever their sizes are, which is producing the president and the deputy president, have contributed 7 members to the 16-member cabinet, thereby leaving only 9 slots for the other 40 ethnic communities. Now, one community, that is the community of the deputy president, is contributing 4 members of the cabinet secretaries. And the president's community is producing 3, with a fourth one coming from a close related ethnic community, which falls under the wider Mount Kenya region. So if you take Mount Kenya region and the Kalenjin community is producing 8 out of 16, that is 50% of the cabinet secretaries. That is unfair to the rest of the 40 or 39 other ethnic communities. And you realize that, for example, all the positions that were taken to the Rift Valley, the 4 appointments or nominees from Rift Valley province, the former Rift Valley province, the 4 nominees, despite the fact that Rift Valley has the most number of cosmopolitan in nature, it's the most cosmopolitan province in the country. But you find of the 4, all of them are from one ethnic community. The other ethnic communities like the Maasais, the Turkanas, the Samburus, the Pokots, and the Luyas who reside in Rift Valley have not even a single appointment or nominee coming from those communities. Therefore, in my view and in view of many of our colleagues, it is ethnically imbalanced, the recent nominations.
You're basically saying that the president and the vice president are undermining the very constitution that they're supposed to protect. Is that your case?
Absolutely. Because if you take even the case of, in terms of, one would argue of ethnic numbers, well, we are aware that Kikuyu is the largest ethnic community in the country, followed by number 2, the Luyas. Then number 3 is the Kalenjin. Now, what rationale would you have in giving Kalenjins 4 appointments and only give 1 to Luyas, which is the second largest tribe, and 4 to the third largest tribe? And you leave other tribes or ethnic communities with no appointment. Yet our constitution is very clear. It not only talks about regional balance, but also talks about ethnic balance. So that, and this was not for nothing. It was because Kenya has, as you know, has been ethnically divided for a long time, and that is what brought the issues that we had in 2007, 2008.
But some people are suggesting that it was an agreement that united the president and the vice president to form a coalition, and the agreement led to the cabinet formation. So you are basically telling them not to accept the agreement they signed that brought them to power. Wouldn't you be undermining the understanding or memorandum of understanding that led them to win the presidency?
No, that is not correct. Actually, I am not against the agreement bringing together the president and the deputy president or their parties. But what I'm saying, that agreement was not between 2 communities or 2 ethnic communities. The agreement was between parties. And each political party has representation from all ethnic communities. Therefore, if the deputy president was to contribute, was to have 50% of the government, that 50% should be shared across the country, because his party does not belong to one ethnic community. He has the party of the vice president or the deputy president is URP. URP has members. He has so many MPs from the Teso community. He has MPs from the Turkana community. He has the MPs from the Maasai community. One fails to understand why all the appointments that is given to the deputy president, he wants to take to his ethnic Kalenjin community. That, to me, is unacceptable. So the agreement is there. divide it 50-50, but make sure that each one of them shares the percentage, his percentage, across the country so that all the communities feel represented in government.
What powers do you have in parliament that would help oppose these cabinet nominees as you have enumerated?
First of all, it may be tricky because first, parliamentary procedures or proceedings are dictated by the numbers. And so you realize that the committee, we may have a voice, but finally the majority will have their way. So chances are that if the Jubilee side of government manages to mobilize their members and whip them to one direction, then no matter what, how credible your concerns are, you might not find your way. But the confidence I have is that a good number of legislators, even from the Jubilee side, who are coming from outside the two ethnic blocs, are actually unhappy. They are also unhappy that their members, despite the fact that they belong to Jubilee, that they are not included in the government in terms of the nominations to the cabinet. And therefore, because of that, we may hold the government to account. But that is a matter that is still speculative. I'm not so sure how members are going to behave in terms of pushing through the agenda of ethnic balance.
Some people are saying that the president and his deputy are not setting a bad precedent in that they are working with people who they know and people who they have confidence that can work with them to achieve the promises that they made during the campaign. What is your take on that?
That is perfectly a good idea, to work with people you understand, to work with people you know, to work with people you have confidence in, so as to be able to deliver on the promises. But one fails to understand why one can only find people he can work with from his ethnic community. I think Kenya, there is a way of getting people you can work with, people you have confidence, and people who can deliver even from other ethnic communities, because you cannot win presidency just by support from your community. And so if the president, the deputy, wanted to get loyalists or even people who can deliver from other communities, they would still get them. They don't necessarily have to go back to their communities to get such members.